Now, but go with me to Ephesians chapter 1. And I want to talk about what the Apostle Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus. And then we're going to go back and we're going to see what happened in Ephesus. And we're going to have some fun here. He says this, and it's going to be up on the big screen, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. I'm going to be reading from the New NIV. It says this. There it is. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Now, what is he praying for this group of people? I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Wisdom is understanding. Revelation is knowing what you don't know. That God would open up our hearts so that we can know things we don't know. Because the reality is, the Bible says, we're all coming out of darkness. And we're learning how to live in the light. Therefore, we have to have our eyes open. Keep asking the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Wow. God has a lot for us. Now, let's go now to Acts chapter 19. Acts, the book of Acts, is our history book of the Old Testament. And so as you go through the book of Acts, you can take all of the letters, and if you're really super fancy, you say epistles. But as a kid, I always thought that was a swear word. You take all the letters, and you can hang them off of various parts of the book of Acts, what happened in the book of Acts. So the letter to the Ephesians, which we were just reading, is connected to what happened in Acts chapter 19, because that's the history book. If you go to Acts chapter 18, you got 1 and 2 Corinthians, you'd be able to find out what happened in the church there, and it's all right here. The Bible is a unit, it's awesome. But I want you to read the Apostle Paul, the first time he goes to this place called Ephesus, and we started here last week, and we're going to have a testimony about it. So look, it says, Acts chapter 19, verse number 1 says this, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? I'm at verse number halfway through 2. They answered, no, we have not even heard there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul asked, then what baptism did you receive? Well, John's baptism, they replied. Paul answered, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. That's John the Baptist. It's Old Testament. He was making a way for the Lord Jesus, okay? Paul said John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is in Jesus. Now, we're taking a conversation that probably lasted an hour and boiling it down to one verse. He told them about Jesus dying on the cross to pay for their sins, taking it to the grave and raising from the dead, and that they can ask Jesus to forgive them. Jesus, the living God, makes a way so that we can go straight to the heart of the Father and know God in a personal living way. So, says this, on hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them. Now here's a secondary experience. It's an experience that we learned last week is after salvation. You're already on your way to heaven. John the Baptist said, I baptize you with water, but Jesus will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Now we all get confused with the word baptism. Don't freak out. The word baptism means to dip or immerse, so we have to ask the question, what is being dipped in what? Well, Jesus baptizes his people in the Holy Spirit. Well, look what happens, and this kind of freaks people out. It's kind of fun. Verse 6, when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied, and there was about 12 in all. Well, last week we talked about this experience of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know you're baptized in the Holy Spirit when you begin to speak in a language you don't know. And some people are like, whoa, that's kind of weird. I remember when it happened to me when I was 17 years old. And I've been praying in a language I don't know for all the time. I've been in Africa and people tell me what I'm saying because I'm speaking a language I don't know. But last week, come up here, Wayne. It's Wayne Kenny. Tell us what you do for a job.
I'm a contractor.
Contractor. So, contractors are rough and tough and full of stuff.
Absolutely.
Show us your finger.
Yeah.
Don't mess with him. He just got mad and chewed one off one day, right? Okay, this guy, you're not easily fooled or whatever.
No.
But tell me about what happened to you last week when you came forward. You're standing right over here. Tell us what you were thinking before you came up.
Let me lead you on a little bit of a rabbit trail first.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. In 2 weeks, we're my wife-to-be, who's right back there, we're getting married here. 3 weeks ago, her father had a stroke. No side effects.
Praise the Lord.
He had an operation Monday last week. Absolutely healed. Okay? I have bone on bone. I had bone on bone, left hip. For 2 years, I couldn't raise my leg. This is where it gets tough. So Lori and I have been talking about our life. Her son and his wife go to this church, so we started coming. And it got into our hearts. Do you remember, Joseph, what you said last Sunday? I do. Because we looked at each other and said, it's time. So we walk up front. We give our life to the Lord. And my hip hasn't hurt since.
Amen.
Right, Tom? My buddy Tom's going to sing at our wedding. He's a good friend of mine. Dennis was praying over us. I couldn't say my English language while I was praying. It was coming out different. It was the start of something big. I haven't embraced it fully yet because I was raised Baptist.
Set him free, Lord.
And they're against it. So anyway, this guy here keeps encouraging me, and this is kind of weird, but for the first time in 2 years, I clipped my own toenails this morning. It's been an incredible journey. I just want to thank God.
Praise the Lord. God comes on us. We get baptized in the Holy Spirit. He gives us a language we don't know. Why? Because he wants us to cheat. Yeah. We do. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, we do not know how to pray, so the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. And so I'm praying for somebody, and I don't quite know what to say, so I begin to pray in another language that the Holy Spirit gives me, and he prays perfectly for the perfect situation, exactly where that person is, everything they need. And God begins to do miracles. It's the doorway into the miracle power of God. Amen? Wow, it's for everybody. Now, do you have to speak in tongues to go to heaven? No. You get to. You just got to look at it right. Now, let's move on. The Apostle Paul meets a bunch of people like Wayne Kinney and Lori sitting there along the Mississippi River, and he prays for them, and they get born again, they get baptized, and they get baptized in the Holy Spirit. They move on them. Well, then what happened? Let's go to verse number 8 of Acts chapter 19. It said, Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. So Paul left them. He took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years, so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. Now this brings us to Bishop, Doctor, Justice. I want you to come up here. I want you to give him a great new welcome, New River welcome, as he comes up. Now, we're going to preach this message together, and he's going to tell you things that are going to blow your mind. So what I want you to do is share your vision, because I sit here, they filled the whole area, and everybody heard about Jesus. Tell this church what you do, and what God has put on your heart to accomplish.
Thank you so much, Pastor.
My name is Chastas Wanjala from Kenya, East Africa. We speak the British English. And Americans say that the British brought the English and you perfected that English. But in Kenya, it's not yet perfected. So if you don't hear me, you can ask questions. I'm the founder of Gospel Lighthouse Church in Kenya. We do church planting. We do also discipleship. I have founded 1,000 churches in East Africa. And God is moving. My vision is to reach 10 million souls.
How many?
10 million.
10 million?
Yes.
Wow.
10 million souls. And we are working on this. We have already trained the people. We have 1,000 people helping us to reach this vision. And 10 million souls is not a one-day thing. You need to have partnership. You need to have people to help you so that you can be able to reach the 10 million souls in East Africa.
Now, how many pastors do you have working with you?
I have 1,800 pastors working with me.
And how many churches are under each one of those pastors? Do they oversee?
We have divided our nation into regions, and every pastor is having 20 churches under him.
That's a lot of churches.
That's nothing.
That's nothing.
We are looking for more.
We're looking for more. And so your goal is to do exactly what the Bible says, fill the land with the message of Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, let's go on to the next verse here, Pastor. If you grab a seat, we'll continue together. Amen. Look what it says. Look at verse 11 now. Verse 11 says this, God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and evil spirits left them. Amen. Pastor, we are Americans. We want everything to fit into our brain. We want it to be scientific, and we want to have it figured out. But one of the things we don't have is we don't have many miracles. We have, from time to time, we've had miracles here of healing and God moving, obviously filling people with the Holy Spirit. But I want you to tell us and encourage us in the area of seeing God do miracles, because the same God that's in Kenya Amen. Is the same God here.
Amen.
I want you to tell everybody about the prayer meeting 5 years ago.
First, before I tell you about the prayer meeting 5 years ago, I want to say that God is moving, and the Lord is doing wonderful things. He's the same one that was 2,000 years ago, and the same one now. And the one healing in Africa is the one healing in America and all over the world.
Amen.
And we are seeing miracles because Kenya or Africa, people are hungry for the word of God. In Canada, in America, people are condemned. People are in a good comfort and
content.
Yes.
Too much comfort.
Too much comfort.
Whoa.
And that's why America don't see miracles. People are busy doing their own things in America, and they don't have time to pray. In Africa, we fast. I have fasted for 40 days. Without eating anything. And we see miracles moving. And 5 years ago in my church, we were having an overnight prayer. When we talk about overnight prayer, Pastor.
Tell us about every Friday night.
Every Friday night.
Without exception.
Yes.
What happens at your church?
Every Friday night, we have from 8 to 6 meeting in the church. 8 in the night and 6 in the morning. And we have the worship going on. And we have the powerful worship. Not like America, powerful worship, sweating. And we remove jackets, and we worship the Lord, and we cry. And we see the Holy Ghost coming down. We see the anointing. Not like America, people dance for 1 hour, they're tired. We dance the whole night. We dance the whole night. We worship the whole night. And even when you go back home, Pastor, your voice is gone. Because you are busy, you are doing business for the kingdom of God. 5 years ago in my church, we were having an overnight prayer. Our neighboring people there, they're in the slums, and they had a child that died that night around midnight, and they didn't have money. In Kenya, when a child, when a person died, you have to take to your backyard where you come from to be buried. We don't have the cemeteries like here. And so they didn't have enough money to do that.
They buried him in the backyard.
The backyard? At home.
Whoa.
In your home.
Wow.
You just bury outside the house. And that's where we bury the people. Every morning you wake up, you have to see that grave. And so they brought the dead child in the church, who was just 7 years old. And the workers came and told me, "Bishop, we have a dead person behind." I said, "Dead person?" I said, "Yeah." So I said, "Let's just continue worshiping the Lord." He said, "But no, this commotion behind." I said, "Go and tell people to silence and just continue." We continued worshiping the Lord and lifting the hands and just calling on the name of the Lord. After 40 minutes, the young man comes back to me and tells me, "The dead boy is walking now. The dead boy is alive." And then the whole village, because the church went into worshiping the Lord, the whole village knew that the child is healed, the church is risen from the dead, and now the people came. That night we had 700 people got saved in the night. And they changed the name of the boy. Now they call him Miracle Boy. That's his name, Miracle Boy. The boy is now 12 years old and is going to school. And he loves the Lord. And all of the parents, family members, they are saved because they have seen the living God.
Tell us about some more miracles. Tell us about what God's doing. And does God only work through superstars, or is he working through ordinary people every day?
God works in ordinary people every day, and God is moving in a very, very powerful way. Today we have revival in Africa because people have nothing to live on. They only believe in Jesus. In my church, when I called my olds from Monday to Friday, people line up to come for prayers, for miracle prayers. Because they don't have medical facilities, they don't have insurances, they don't have money to go to hospital. So when people are sick in Kenya, they come to church for prayers. And we lay hands on them, and they get healed because they believe that there's a healer, and his name is Jesus.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Tell some healings and miracles.
Let me tell you about myself and my wife. In 1998, you had a bomb blast in Kenya. Bomb blast in Kenya. The American embassy was bombed. And God had spoken to me a month back to tell my wife to resign from work, and my wife didn't want to resign. And week before the bomb blast, God spoke to my wife and woke her up and asked me to wake her up at 2 o'clock for me to write for her a letter of resigning. So I woke up and wrote for her the letter.
Did she work at the embassy?
She worked to the building next to the embassy.
Ah.
And the building next to the embassy was called Ufundi Cooperative House. They had 6 floors storage. And the people who were there, all the people, when they bombed the American embassy building was so strong. But the next building is where my wife was working. The whole building came down with all the people, and everybody in that building died, except my wife, who had resigned 1 day ago. And God saved my wife. So my wife is a miracle woman. When we go in the city, people ask her, "Sure, are you still alive? We thought you died." And because they thought my wife died a long time ago. But we serve a mighty God, a miracle God, who speaks to us. And God spoke to me, and my wife got saved out of that. So we serve a big God. God saved my wife just within hours, because the day she was supposed to go and pick her payment, that's the day the schools were coming out for holidays, and she had to go to school to pick the results for the children, and the teachers delayed. I don't know whether this happens in America or Africa only. When you go to school or to a hospital in Kenya, you have to be patient. So my wife was patient, waiting for the report card for the child. And that was God working on those people to be slow so that my wife can be saved. So my wife is a walking miracle in our country. And I want to tell you the next miracle about myself. In 1992, when you look at the headline of the newspaper of Kenya, they announced that I was dead. And I was dead. I'm a living miracle myself. I was coming from a crusade in 1992, and we had tribal clashes. In Kenya, we have tribes. We have 43 tribes now in my country, and they speak different languages. So the last name determines where you come from. So if they look at your last name, they know you belong to this tribe. And they looked at my IT guard, they say, this man is coming from this tribe. He's an opposition. So they started cutting my vehicle and burned my vehicle and beat me to death. And they came to collect dead bodies to be taken to the morgue.
No, wait. I don't think people heard you. They burnt your car and beat you to death.
To death. They threw me out of the vehicle.
And they beat you
to death.
To death.
Yes.
Okay.
And the policemen came around and found they are collecting the dead bodies. So they collected my body, they collected my wife's body and my Irish pastor's body and dropped us on top of the truck. And when they went to the morgue to remove the dead bodies, they said, you know, the dead bodies are just thrown because there's no space. And then when they started throwing my body, they found I'm still breathing. And I'm still breathing, the heart is still pumping. So they took me out, and my wife was also still alive. They took her out, and we were taken to ICU. But the newspaper announced that the pastor and his wife and the associate pastor among the 30 people dead. So I was among the people, 30 people dead. My mom, my father, dug the grave at home, waiting for my burial to be taking place at my backyard. And after 4 days, I was taken, we were removed from the ICU because God had healed us. We went back to the village with the police vehicle to take us back to our home. And when my mom, my dad, my sisters, my brothers saw me, they took off. They ran away because we were dead. We were dead. How can a dead person come back to our home? We are waiting to bury you. So my mom ran away, my brother ran away, my sisters ran away. And the policemen tried to convince them that they are not dead, they are alive. They were just unconscious. So my mom and my dad took time to come back to accept me in the home because I was dead. And in that grave, they had to bury some banana plantations in that grave instead of me. So I'm still alive. I am a walking miracle.
Hallelujah. Okay. How long are you going to be in town?
I'm going to be down here for 1 week.
1 week at Rose and Dave's house. So I want you to find everybody that says there is no God and take them to Rose and Dave's house and talk to the bishop.
Amen.
Amen? Because we serve an awesome God. This Bible we read is not a fairy tale, nor is it limited to people in Africa.
No.
We serve a living God who's waiting for Amen. Us to be desperate enough to seek Him and pray and call out on the name of the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Our prayer meeting, we had a good prayer meeting last night, but on African standards, it was on life support.
That's right. That's right.
You can be mean to us. It's okay. Why don't you think Americans, we got too much comfort, we got too much everything.
God told the children of the Israelites that when you go to the promised land, that is the land that was promised to the forefathers, that you inherit that land. He instructed them that when you go to that land, don't have enough, get rich, and forget about God. And when you reach there, remember God, who is your creator, who has taken you to that place. And God was giving them a warning because they were going to be comfortable and forget about Him. And that is where America is right now. America has forgotten God because they have too much. America has forgotten God because they are living in a comfort zone, in a society that they cannot remember God anymore because they have enough. But my encouragement to you that come out of the comfort zone and you see the glory of God and the power of God and the anointing and the healing power come back to America. The revival has left America because people are too busy for God. Too busy for God. But they're too busy for God.
Too busy for God.
Yeah, they have no time even to pray.
But you don't understand, our kids have got to play soccer. and we've got to go fishing. And we've got to have a cabin up north. And we're busy people.
That's a problem, Pastor.
Amen.
That's a problem.
You know, I'm being naughty.
Because we need to have time, create time for God. God needs to have us. God needs our time. God needs us to go on our knees and pray. God needs us to give ourselves to Him, to surrender to Him, so that He can use us in a special way. In my society, in my church, there is no sick person in my church. There's no sick person. There's no anybody sick in my church. Because everybody's healed. Everybody's healed.
There's no sick person.
There's
here.
No sick. Yes, everybody's healed. We no longer lay hands on people, because the Holy Ghost is down. When it comes down, it heals everybody. People are healed every place. Before we speak, because we preach the word of God, people run in front. The wheelchairs come in front. People are healed because there's power in the blood of Jesus. And He's still healing the people. The miracles are still alive. And we are seeing that in Africa. In America, there are no miracles because people are so digital. The problem, digital, it means every time, even here, you can see people are on Facebook in the church. People are checking their messages on cell phones in the church. And in Africa, we have written on the church, no cell phone in the church. And people come to church for one reason, to worship the Lord. In America, people come to church with cell phones, communicating back to people at home. They are not communicating to Jesus.
Now, that leads us to the next section of chapter 19, because some guys try to take somebody's cell phone away.
Yes.
I want you to see what happens.
Yes.
Let's look at verse 13. This is one of the great stories, and we'll just say they're trying to take a cell phone away. That's why it's so funny. Verse 13. Some Jews, and it talks about how they took because Paul was a tent maker making his own money. People would sneak up behind Paul and grab the apron he was using and run off and go throw it on somebody, and they get healed. Demons would come out. Wow, you either got it or you don't, folks. Let's look at verse 13. Some Jews went around driving out evil spirits. They tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, "In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out." Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day, they tried to take a cell phone away from a kid. No. one day, an evil spirit answered him, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know about, but who are you?" Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them, overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. Mm-hmm. That is a hilarious story. Now, Pastor, one of the things that we have a difficult time in our country understanding is that there is a real spiritual battle going on.
Yes.
That even in Red Wing, because it's so raw in Africa, because we can find the witch doctor.
Yes.
We can find somebody sacrificing an animal. We can find strange rituals. But in America, we still have a spiritual battle. The demon spirits just do different things. Talk about the spiritual conflict in Kenya and what it takes to break it, and even some deliverance about how God has delivered people from demons.
Yes.
And that we as a country need to wake up to the spiritual battle we're in.
In Africa, we had a lot of witch doctors, people believing in their own gods and serving their own gods in Africa. They didn't believe in God. We had more of witchcraft than the church. And witchcraft has been many years in Africa. And people believe in witchcraft. So we as a church, we have to remove the witchcraft from the people so the people can start believing in God and believing in the living God. So what we do is we preach the people. But many, many people are bound in the demonic power. The demonic power. You can see people screaming, people yelling, people even fighting others, people going like snakes in the church. But in the name of Jesus, we command those demons and they come out of them and people are healed.
Here we just call that the Grammy Awards.
You have never seen the demonic power. That demonic, when somebody is possessed with demons, he can even pull down even the chairs, can even break them and can even pull everybody down. But we pray, when we call on the name of the Lord Jesus, every demon must lose that person and go, and the person is set free. You know, in America, you used to call Africa a dark continent because it was so dark in Africa because of witchcraft. Yeah, but now there's light in Africa. People have seen the light and the gospel is being preached, and we see people getting delivered, and we see salvation, and the churches are full. I want to tell you, if you had a church like this in Africa, the church like this, then you can have 10 services. In this church, you can have 10 services because people are looking for a place to go. They don't have buildings. They don't have carpets. They don't have good chairs. They don't have, but here in America, you have a reason. If you put there some benches and there some steel chairs, nobody can come to church. They want to be at a comfort zone. So I want to ask you, Jesus is not looking for you in you being that comfort zone. Jesus is only looking for you. If you call upon him and call on his name, he will be found. And only people who are looking, you know, I thank God for Pastor Thomas is teaching about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit changes lives of people. If there's no power of the Holy Ghost in the church, people are empty. But if there's power of the Holy Ghost in the church, our minds are changed. If there's Holy Ghost in the church, even the cell phone is not important for you. You can throw it away. You can look on Jesus because our minds are transformed. Our minds are changed. So we can look on Jesus and we can see miracles.
Amen. I want to read this next section here. Let's go to verse 17. When this became known, this whole deal about the seven sons of Sceva and how this demon jumped on these guys and beat them up and ran out of the house naked and bleeding, which I think is just hilarious. Verse 17. When this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. What we want to see is our country. You know, right now we're arguing, we're fighting over people kneeling at a football game when the national anthem's going on and all these things. We're so concerned about all these things. We need to see the name of Jesus held in high honor. We need to see the name of Jesus. And what's happened is the church in America has lived like Pastor's been telling us. We need to pray that God will give us an urgency for the day. Mm. It's okay to have what we have. It's okay to be blessed the way we're blessed. But it's not okay to put anything before the Lord. Mm. Amen? It's okay to have what you have and be blessed the way you're blessed. But it's not okay to let those blessings keep you from seeking the face of God, from putting Jesus first, having personal times of prayer at home. Times when we get up early in the morning because, you know, it's duck hunting season. And my son and Brandon was over here a couple weeks ago when Duck Hunter opened, and they were going to take me duck hunting. And I said, well, what time are you boys getting up? Oh, we're getting up at 3. They're going to go out and they're going to sit. And that was the night. It was 70 degrees. It was really hot that night. And they were going to go sit in weeds this high for 4 hours until 6:30 hit and be fed and feed the mosquitoes. I said, boys, I'm staying home. But I've also seen these same young boys spend the whole night in prayer on Saturday nights in prayer.
Mm. Praise the Lord.
I've also seen them see mighty things happen through their lives. Now we got a bunch of kids that are getting ready to go next summer to go down and go to Ecuador and take a canoe up the Amazon River and sleep in the jungle because they want to tell people about Jesus. I mean, God is doing awesome things, but here's what I find out. We need all of us to realize we're on a missions trip.
Mm-hmm.
You don't belong to planet Earth. You belong to heaven. You're here as an ambassador to tell people about Jesus. We're here to live a different kind of life because we want people to know Jesus. We don't want them to be Americans. That just makes them dumb. I knew you'd say that. We need to be Christians filled with the power of God, walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Now look what happens here. Verse 18. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed what they had done. A number who practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. That's right around $5 million. Verse 20. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. Is that what we want? That the word of God to spread widely and grow in power. How does it happen? Does it happen through Pastor Tom? It happens through all of us.
Yes.
It happens through every person in this room saying, I need the power of God. I need the presence of God. I want to live according to what the Bible says. If Jesus said, if you have faith in me, you can do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father, you may ask me for anything in my name and I shall do it. If he's telling me that, then I want to live it.
Mm-hmm.
See, what's happening in America, Bishop, is that people come quickly. They pray a quick prayer and they say, well, I tried that.
Yeah.
Talk about the whole issue of pressing in and praying one more time. Emphasize it one more time for us, how you go into an area. Talk about when you go into an area with Muslims.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because we're not going to read the part, but if you continue to read 19, they had a riot over all this stuff and tried to kill a couple people. Talk about you come up against opposition,
mm-hmm.
and how you've lasted through that and seen God move.
Yeah, you know, when you live in a comfort zone, Pastor, you don't have that God protecting you because you are just by yourself. In my church, all of us go to church by 5 a.m. in the morning to pray. 5 a.m., we call it morning glory. Every day is consistent. But you can only do that if the Holy Ghost is in you. If you are empty, you cannot go to church when it's too cold in the morning. Every day, you have to wake up. We show the Jesus film in our communities, in our Muslim areas.
The Jesus film?
Yes.
It's like The Passion?
The Passion.
The Passion.
We show the Passion film, and the Muslims don't want to see that when it's reaching at the time of Jesus being beaten and seeing the blood and everything. The Muslims don't want that. So when we were showing at the Muslim area that these guys were so much, they started fighting us, and they destroyed all our equipments. They fought us, and the following day they came and burned my church and destroyed all the chairs, destroyed all the equipments for 5,000 people. And my life was safe. And people told me, you should run away and go to another country. I said, no, Jesus has called me in Africa. I will never leave Africa because he's watching over me. After burning the church and destroying all the chairs, I am still alive, preaching the gospel, because the Holy Ghost is the one leading me in whatever I do.
Amen. Hallelujah. Now we hear a lot of conflict with the Muslims. Talk about Muslims coming to know Jesus as their Savior.
In my church, we have a sheikh who was a preacher of the Muslims. This guy got saved in a very mysterious way. You know, a Muslim, when he gets saved, you have to run away from home. You have to hide because when they know you are saved, they'll kill you. So this man in our church is one of my pastors now. He was the preacher for the Muslims. God saved because he came to a crusade and God was performing miracles. He saw the lame person walk. And when he saw that, he didn't believe it because that was his neighbor and God had healed him. And so he said, what can stop me from getting saved? I have never seen this in Muslims. So the guy got saved. And they looked for him. The wife and the children left him. And we took him to Uganda for 6 months so that he can hide away. He came back. And now we've taken him to school, in the Bible school. He's now one of our pastors in our church. But I want you to tell you that this power, that when people see the power of God in you, then the people will change their minds. When the Holy Ghost is moving and miracles are taking place, even the sinners will know that there's something happening there. So this guy, when he got saved, we got 20 Muslims now who got saved and are in my church. And we have sent them out, they're reaching Muslims. You are blessed in America. I have not seen a policeman outside there. I have not seen anything there. But in my church, if you have a big congregation, every morning you have to have five policemen come in to check your pockets before you enter in the church. Because when you are preaching, they can send a young Muslim guy who can blow up the whole church and everybody can die. But I want to tell you, America, you have the freedom of worship. You don't have any problem. You don't have any excuse. In my country, you have to have the security to go to church because it's risk with Muslims. But here you have the freedom. Please take this opportunity. Seize this opportunity and serve the Lord without ceasing.
Amen. Well, Pastor, what we want to do today is we want to take an offering for your ministry. And then what we're going to do, we're going to call the worship team up. And we are going to worship the Lord. And if you need, after this offering, so if our ushers would get ready, could you tell us what this offering would go for as we're giving to your ministry?
Right now, we are looking for ways of getting a van, the van for the 10 million souls. We need to have the staff to carry them to go. We need to have to carry equipment to go and have some crusades in the villages. We are reaching the communities with the gospel where nobody calls to preach, in Maasai land, in Muslims. We go there with the gospel. So we are looking forward to buy a van of 14-seater so that we can be able to carry the equipments to go there. January this year, my vehicle quit working, so right now I don't have a vehicle myself. I'm just hiring and going by bus to go for crusades. But if God can open doors for you, speak to you, you can help us reach the 10 million souls. Also, we are looking for partners, Pastor. We are looking for partners to come over, help us, stand with us, preach with us. And we are also, the way you are going to extend your church is the way we are buying land. We want to build a center for training, equipping the young people so they can be able to go out and help us reach the 10 million souls. So your support of towards us is going to buy the van or buy the land for the church. And also coming over, you can come over and be part of what the Lord is doing in our nation. Sister Rose has been my country. Rose Kando has been my country. And that is a mighty woman of God. She's been supporting us to reach out. Almost every month she brings us some money to go out and preach the gospel. So she's been preaching in Africa while she's here with David. They have been preaching in Africa, but they're sending their money to go and reach one more soul in Africa.
Is this the guy who introduced you, Rose? Remember when they introduced you as you spoke?
No, it wasn't him.
Good, okay.
That was Josiah?
Yes. They said, this is Rose. She's a fine, fat woman.
But please excuse us in Africa. If you are a fat in Africa, it means you are rich. So when they see a fat person in Africa, you are rich, you have enough money. And then it's an honor for Africa for you to be fat. So when they were introducing Rose, they knew this is a wonderful, rich woman from America.
I don't know if we're helping this at all.
Rose,
you're getting in trouble.
Rose was offended, and we didn't know that. But the culture in Africa is different. When they tell you are fat, you say, "Oh, thank you." But it's different culture. So that's why when you go to Africa, you need to learn the culture for the people in Africa.
Amen.
So when you go there and they tell you are fat, say, "Praise the Lord."
Praise the Lord. Well, we want our ushers to come forward, and we want to give for your ministry, Pastor. Our worship team, would you come up right now? And I know we had one more song left to our set, and we're going to use that now. And we're going to worship the Lord. And what we're going to do?
Small video of 2 minutes.
Oh, yes. And while we're taking this offering, we're going to run this video of Bishop's ministry. So let's pray over this. Father, we ask in Jesus' name that you'd help us. Lord, you so blessed us. None of us have worried about our house being burnt while we're at church. None of us are being worried about having a meal after church. You've taken care of us. Lord, help us to unite with our brothers and sisters in Africa. Lord, that you would bless this offering in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's run that video, Pastor John.
Dear partners, Bishop Justus Wanjala is committed to taking the gospel of our Lord Jesus to the world with a vision of reaching to 10 million souls. Your partnership will assist his mission of changing lives and impacting nations. Your commitment will enable him to carry out the Great Commission. Bishop is committed to reaching the young people and equipping them for future church. As a church bishop, he is committed to empower women and youth to remove poverty from them by starting a microfinance to start their own businesses. May the Lord cause all grace abound towards you, that you may all have sufficiency in all things in abundance for every good work. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 8. God aid, God aid, God aid, God aid. God aid. God aid.
All right.
God aid.
God aid. Technical problem. And
God
aid.
God
aid. God aid.
God aid.
Okay. You know our good friend, the pastor Stephen Mayanja, and
yes.
Our the late great Stephen Coesa, who used to come every May and stay here in Red Wing.
Yes.
And we sure miss him.
I know.
So the
video is not working, but I wanted just to say that we are trying to empower the pastors in Kenya to become self-sufficient. So we give them four gods. We give them four gods, one male and three female. They don't sell for 3 good years. You sign a contract with us. After 3 years, then you have 50 of them. Then you give back to me 4. I give to another pastor. So it's a continued process that we empower the pastors. And so far we have given 200 pastors with 4 courts. And they have given back to us, and we are still doing it so that we can remove the poverty from the pastors. We want them to have enough. And so after 3 years, you can sell and you can do anything. Through having the courts, you can have the manure, you can plant in the gardens, you can have vegetables, you can have good things happening in your land. Also, my wife is having a project for reaching the pastor's wives. For her being a pastor's wife for 41 years, she knows the problem of being a pastor's wife. So she's empowering the wives of the pastor with 100 chickens so that they can raise chickens, they can have $12 in a day by selling the eggs. She builds for them the hatching place and everything for $250 US dollars so that she can equip the women having that. And $300 can be able to buy the 4 courts for the pastors so that we can empower them. We can continue removing poverty. We also have a microfinance that we help the young people, the women in the church and the young people in the church to start doing some business. So we don't want them to be beggars. We want them to have enough so they can support the church in the future. That is what we are doing to make sure that every poverty has come out of the church and people are living self-sufficiently to be able to feed their children and take them to school. Wow. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, that's just a picture of what the church does around the world. Innovation. Very practical, but also the power of God. We're a people who need the presence of the Lord. Amen? What we're going to do is we're going to sing one song. We're going to worship the Lord. And about halfway through or so, I'll call people up. And Bishop and I and our worship team, staff, and deacons, we're just going to pray for people. If you have a need, we want to pray. Amen? And we're going to believe God for miracles today. We're going to believe God to touch. And I know we've always talked about, oh, Lord, we just know.
as people see you move, it'll start a spark in us. Now people want a spark. I want a spark. I want to be touched. I want God's power and presence. Amen? So let's stand together. Let's turn the lights down like we do in worship time. And we're going to just, in a moment, we'll call you forward. So let's worship the Lord for another song.